is the first of the series in our shiurim about the Rav's writings in Al HaTshuva. As we know, Rav Soloveitchik gave an annual tshuva lecture, and those were world-famous lectures, very well-known. They were discourses that became very popular. And in those various lectures, Rav Soloveitchik discussed different aspects and elements of tshuva, different themes that were very important about the fundamental ideas of what we have to have in mind at this time of year. It is with a great sense of uneasiness that I try and bring a little bit of life to the words of Rav Soloveitchik. As we know, he was a very incredibly dynamic personality on his own, and it's hard to do justice to his own words. When you prepare your own shiur and your own material, you can give it the way you want. When you're giving over the material of somebody else, it's a little bit of an uncomfortable experience, and what I decided to do this evening is I just picked one part of a piece in Al HaTshuva. And on the second sheet, we have different writings from the Rav in various different places where I hope it will help us give a little bit of a perspective into the themes that he mentioned here that really he expanded upon in other places as well. I don't claim to be a major bucky, a major expert in all the writings of the Rav, but these are various ones that I was aware of that I think bring more of a context to the words that he says here. So by way of introduction to the piece that we're going to learn through tonight, I want to look at a short paragraph that is written in the Sefer Kol Dodi Dofek. Rav Soloveitchik wrote a beautiful Sefer. He gave a beautiful drusha about the response to the Holocaust, which he felt was the creation of the State of Israel. And he felt very strongly that that was Aschalta de Geula, that that was the beginning of a process. And in there he writes about various theological issues that we have regarding the Holocaust and regarding Jewish suffering in general. So there, he writes the following. You look at the page that has the English, and this is what he says. Judaism, with its realistic approach to man and his place in the world, understood that evil could not be blurred or camouflaged, and that any attempt to downplay the extent of the contradiction and fragmentation to be found in reality, meaning we find that people are very complicated. People are full of contradictions. You have people who will do sometimes the right thing, sometimes the wrong thing. There's so much conflicting reality inside of a personality. Will neither endow man with tranquility if you decide just to ignore that part of life and make pretend as if it doesn't exist at all. That will neither endow man with tranquility nor enable him to grasp the existential mystery. Whoever wishes to delude himself by diverting his attention from the deep fissure in reality by romanticizing human existence, you want to say that everything is beautiful and everything is great and nobody can do any wrong, is naught but a fool and a fantast. So basically, I think when you have that perspective of the Rav to begin with, and we think about tshuva in general, and we think about the mistakes that we have all made throughout the course of the year, so it makes it even more difficult to try and understand how do we wrap our hands around tshuva. We have all made poor decisions in life. We have all done the wrong things at different junctures in our lives. And yet, we cannot ignore it, and we cannot make pretend as if it doesn't exist. We know that this is part of the nature of what life actually is. But if that's the case, how do we have a process of tshuva? If we know that these are really parts of the physical world that we live in, what exactly does tshuva really mean? So let's begin with the piece that we have here. This is on page 169 for anyone who has the Sefer, or you can look here on the copy that we made. It's page 169. Obviously, this is only 7 pages in Al HaTshuva. It is not an entire thought, but this is the beginning of a process of a thought. So we begin as follows. Shnayim hein darkei HaTshuva. Soloveitchik suggests that there are 2 different avenues of tshuva. B'slichos anu omrim, in our slichos we say, v'derech tshuva horesa, that God has produced for us a path. He has taught us that path that we're supposed to go on toward the way of tshuva. Lemaisa, says Rav Soloveitchik, I believe that lo derech achas lefanenu, I don't believe that there is only one venue, there is only one way that one can approach tshuva. Elishtayim, he says that there are 2 different paths that a person can take to get themselves toward a place of tshuva. Derech achas, the first way he says is with biur hara, to abolish, to obliterate, to destroy all of the terrible feelings, all of the terrible deeds that took place over the past year. Biur hara, that's one way. The second way, he says, haderech hashniya, is to be mesakein hara and ha'alaso, to fix to reconstruct all of those terrible moments in the year and elevate them to be something greater, to be a greater reality. So that's the premise that he has. There are two different ways of doing tshuva. One way of doing tshuva is for a person to totally reject everything that has happened. And the second way of doing tshuva is to elevate all of those terrible moments in life. And that's what he's going to expand upon in the next couple of pages. So he begins as follows. B'Maseches Yuma, the Gemara has a Maseches Yuma, Daf Pei Vav, and this is where the Gemara discusses many of the different fundamental aspects of tshuva. So the Gemara says a very famous statement. Amar Reish Lakish, Gedola tshuva, the process of tshuva is so great, is so profound, Shehazdonas nasas lo kishkagos, because all of the premeditated acts, all of the intentional acts that we have done over the year, once we do tshuva on those acts, nasas lo kishkagos, those now turn into accidental acts, that God will consider it as if they were violated unintentionally. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, you should repent, you should come closer to Hashem, Ki kashalta b'avonecha, because you have mistakenly gotten caught up in an avera. What do you mean mistakenly? I didn't make a mistake, I did it on purpose. I did it with intention. It was deliberate. So what do you mean, ki kashalta b'avonecha? So the Gemara says what you see is that when a person goes through the process of tshuva, all the mistakes that they have made now turn into a shigava. It's as if it was all accidental. So that's what the Gemara says. Eni, what do you mean that's not true? V'ha'amar Reish Lakish. Don't we know Reish Lakish says in another place, Gedola tshuva, tshuva is so profound, tshuva is so otherworldly, Shezedonos nasis lo kizichuyos, that when a person goes through the process, through the steps of tshuva, all of the wrongdoings that they have done throughout the year now become merits. Not only that God considers them like accidental acts, but God actually treats them like a merit of a person. Even greater, Shenemar, Uvishuv Rasha Mirishaso, so the Gemara answers, you're right, lo kasha. Kan me ava, vikan me yira. There are two different ways that a person can approach the process of tshuva. Some people do tshuva because they feel such a fondness, they feel such an allegiance, such a love to God. And that's one aspect, that's one kind of tshuva. There's another kind of tshuva, says the Gemara, which is what we call a tshuva meira, which means a tshuva that comes because of deep apprehension, because of tremendous anxiety, because I am so concerned, I'm in despair, I'm nervous, God's going to punish me. What's my end going to be? I must do tshuva because otherwise the alternative is horrible. That's what we call a tshuva meira. And the Gemara says if a person does a tshuva meira, that is not as elevated of a tshuva as somebody who does tshuva simply because they have a fondness, because they have a deep-seated love for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik writes over here. And this is something that he begins his piece with, that we have two different kinds of tshuva, tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'ira. The Chasam Sofer even writes, based on this Gemara, when the Gemara tells us that a person who does tshuva me'ava, we assume that their tshuva is zedonos nasos lo kizichuyos, all of the wrongdoings that they have done deliberately now become into a merit. The Chasam Sofer writes, this is what he says, Demisha osa tshuva me'ava, somebody who does tshuva me'ava, kokazayas nevela sha'acha, every piece of non-kosher food that you may have consumed over the year, nasa kemo kezayas me'achilas karban biyushalayim, says the Chasam Sofer. Every single bit of non-kosher food that you may have consumed is as if you have eaten from the karbanos in Yerushalayim. That's how literally we take this concept. A person who does tshuva me'ava, it is as if they have been engaged, involved in mitzvah activities throughout the year. The Teferis Yisrael writes in Mishnayos that he has always been bothered. Why is it? You know, it's a very strange thing. We take it for granted, but when you think critically about it, it doesn't really make sense. On Yom Kippur, the Chazan and the Chazar Sashatz says, Hashem Nubaganu, and we all say it together. So what do? We sing it in a niggun. Ah, yeah, yeah. What are we singing about? This is the most embarrassing part of davening. What's everyone so excited about? This is the part that we should all whisper quietly. We shouldn't be singing this aloud. So Teferis Yisrael said it's something he was always bothered with. And he comes to the conclusion that the reason why we sing it is because if a person gets to the level where they do tshuva me'ava, where they are repenting because they feel that they have such a closeness, such a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you should be singing, because every one of those terrible misdeeds that you have done throughout the year are now turning into a schus, are now turning into a merit. You have now gotten yourself so much merit, and that's something to sing about. And that says that the Tiferes Yisrael is perhaps the reason why we sing when we say the Ashamnu Baganu, when we say the Al-Chayt on Yom Kippur, because it's something that we are happy to be involved in the process of tshuva, in the process of a tshuva me'ahava. So the Gemara is very problematic. Rav Soloveitchik points out that this Gemara is something that is very difficult to understand. Hasugya kasha, v'chilama nosnim lo formia l'rasha. Why do we give a pass? Why do we give a flow to a person who's been involved in terrible activities the whole year? All of a sudden you do tshuva, and it's as if everything you've done wrong is like a schus, is like a merit. Achas donosav nasas lo kizachuyos. Lama magia lo koze. Why do you deserve that? You haven't been so good to God throughout the year, so why is he being so good to you? Vishuv, ma piris tshuva me'ava u'tshuva me'ira. Bama hahevdel beinehem. What exactly is the difference between tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'ira? Are the steps of tshuva different? Is the process going to look any different? So what exactly does it mean when we distinguish, when we differentiate between tshuva me'ahava and tshuva me'ira? Kedei v'hasbir sugya mukshazos. In order to explain this difficult concept that the Gemara speaks about, ulahavin, and to understand and appreciate, as shtei darkei hadrachim b'tshuva, in order to appreciate the two venues of tshuva, yesh lehisakev al habaya hamachshavatit ha'ikarit sheyesh. We should spend time trying to figure out, trying to understand the fundamental philosophical dilemma that we all have when we approach the idea of tshuva. We're up to the next column. And this is a dilemma, this is a perplexity that bothered not only the Gedolei Balei HaMachshava b'Yisrael, not only the great Jewish philosophers such as Rav Sadia Gaon, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu B'chaye, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, V'raya b'Nacherim. This didn't only bother the great Jewish philosophers, but it's something that Av Tachmei Umas HaOlam, also the secular philosophers, had a difficult time trying to wrap their heads around what exactly tshuva does. What does it accomplish? V'higiu ayada l'kfira. And because of that, because it is such a difficult concept to understand, because it's so hard for us to really appreciate what tshuva means, therefore they came to the conclusion that we reject, we dismiss this whole premise of tshuva. Secular philosophers decided there's no such thing, because it can't be. How is it possible you've done something wrong and now all of a sudden that wrongdoing turns into a merit? It can't be. It doesn't make sense. Secular philosophers have written off this whole idea of tshuva. But we believe in it. We believe in it, so what exactly does it mean? What happens when we're involved in the process of tshuva? Baya Takshuva, he suggests that the problem of tshuva is kshura b'tfisas musag hazman. Tshuva is something that's difficult for us to understand because it deals with the concept of time. V'yichuso l'chai ha'adam. It deals with the relationship of time to the life of a person. What does that mean? Rabbi Yedaya HaPanini, I don't even know who that is, but he quotes him, Kava es hamichtam. He coined the following expression. Ha'avar ayin, the past is no longer. V'ha'asid adayin, the future still has not come. V'ha'hoda ke'erif ayin, and the present that we are living through now is so ephemeral, is so fleeting, it's so fading. It's something that is not here for too long. By the time you recognize what you're in the middle of, by the time you appreciate the moment, it's already gone. And he says, Lefi zeh, and according to this, Kiyum ha'adam shave la'efes. If you think from that perspective, that everything that has already happened is gone, and what is going to happen has not come yet, and the moment is just fleeting and ephemeral, then it turns out that our lives are really nothing. What is life? Me'acha she'en lo klal achiza b'zman. There's no way of getting a hold, of getting a grip on any moment of life. It's just going to float away from us so quickly. Avol be'emes, however, of Soloveitchik argues, yesh kiyum la'adam b'shnayim ha'ele. In truth, he says, in essence, we do have an existence when you put together the past and the future. Number one, bizikaron, because of our ability to have recollection, to have retrospection, to have memory, And number two, bitzfiya la'atid, when a person has a hope, an aspiration, a longing for something that's going to be accomplished in the future. Now this idea of how you philosophically understand time is something that Rav Soloveitchik writes about in a number of different places. I brought some of it here. In The Lonely Man of Faith, Rav Soloveitchik writes, you'll have it here on the sheet. It gives us a little bit more, he fleshes out the idea a little bit more clearly. History as a human event unfolds itself in time. Yet there is an experience of closeness in historical time. Instead of being a straight line extending in two opposite directions, time presents itself as a three-dimensional magnitude, past, present, and future. So we have all three aspects make up what our lifetime is, that envelops the historical consciousness, that explores not only the traces of a bygone past retained in memory and a non-existent future anticipated in fantasy, but a living past and future which are projected against the backdrop of the present. If you want to understand how to appreciate a moment of life that you're living in now, it's to take together the moments of life that were, it's to take also the moments of life that will be, all of one's goals, all of the yearning, all of the aspiration, and to live life with all of that as the backdrop. The historical texture is woven of past and future. It is a focus in which the bygone and the expected converge. That's what life is all about. To live historically means to live through all the phases of history, both past and future. Rav Soloveitchik then reiterates the point again, a little bit differently, but beautifully, in the book Sacred and Profane. Rav Soloveitchik writes, there are some people who live in quantitative dead time. We wish a person, you should have arichas yamim vishanim. Many mefarshim have asked, what does it mean? You should have arichas yamim vishanim, you should have days and years. The answer is because we know a lot of people who have quantitative years, but they have no days. Their days are filled with nothingness, with no meaning, with nothing of relevance. So what good is a life like that? We wish a person the ultimate blessing of one should have arichas yamim vishanim. We want you to have not only years, but we want you to have days that will fill up those years and make them meaningful. So that's what he writes over here. There's such a thing as a quantitative dead time. A person can have many years in life, but that is dead time. There's nothing being accomplished. They measure time by the clock and by the calendar. For them, there is no merger of the past and the future. The present itself is a lost moment. A year is endless. These people are deprived of a historical consciousness, for history is the living experience of time. The man, however, who lives in qualitative time, has a different criterion of the experience of time than the quantitative experience. What is life meant to be? He measures time not by the length extension, but by pure quality, creativity, and accomplishment. How much have you done today? How much have you accomplished today? How quantitatively full has your life been is not the question. It's how qualitatively full your life has been. While for the man with the quantitative apprehension, all fractions of time are equal, what does it matter? Today, tomorrow, the next day, everything's the same. 24 hours, another day on the calendar. For the man of qualitative apprehension, there is no equality among temporal fractions of time. Moments are heterogeneous. One may live an entire lifespan quantitatively, not having lived even a moment qualitatively experienced. Such a powerful statement. Person can live many moments of life, an entire lifespan quantitatively, but not having lived even a moment qualitatively experienced. And contrariwise, one may have lived a moment quantitatively and have lived through an entire qualitatively. It's incredible perspective. The alternative is up to man himself. We have that choice. What are we going to make time? Are we going to make it something meaningful, something worthwhile, or not? We may say that the qualitative time consciousness is comprised of two elements. First, the appreciation of the enormous implications inherent in the fleeting moments of the present. Eternity may depend upon the brief moment. And secondly, the vicarious experience while in the present is of the past and the future. No distance, however removed, should separate one's time consciousness from the dawn of one's group, or from the eschatological destiny and infinite realization of one's cherished ideals. So again, Rav Soloveitchik points out for us here that time is something that he grappled with. Time is something he tried to understand. What is it? If we know that ha'avar ayin, if we know that the past is gone, it's fleeting, it's ephemeral, and we know that the future is not yet here, and the hoveh, and the moment that we're in right now, we can't even get a handle on. We can't hold on to that experience. So what is time? And he suggests that time is taking the past and the future and making that the backdrop of the moment that we live in right now. Let's continue. Hazikaron, our sense of memory, our sense of retrospection, meshiv l'she'ela shel mi ani. That describes to us who we are. Ani huzeh, somebody asks you, who are you? You know what the answer to that question is? Ani huzeh, I am the person, she'yesh li zikaron mikach v'kach rikshut. I am the person that has all of these collective feelings over the years. Kach v'kach chavayot, I am the person that has all of these various experiences over the years. Kach v'kach smachot, I am the person that celebrated all these various joyous, happy occasions. V'kach v'kach itzvonos, and all of these disappointments, all of these letdowns, all of these numerous failures in life. Bizikarunim sheches ritzifos ha'ani. The way that we develop a persona, a personality, is by reminding ourselves of all of the experiences of our past. Bitfila anu omrim. In our davening we say, atazocher ma'asei olam. We say that God remembers all that happens in the past. Upoked kol yitzurei kedem. And He reminds Himself of all those who He created so many generations ago. Maha hevdel ben zikaron lepikadon. What is the difference between ata zocher and ata poked? What is the difference between remembering and remembering? These are both expressions of the same idea. Shneim yesh behem mashmos bikur. Both of them mean to say that God checks in, that God visits. Hashem pakada Sarah. Does it mean that God revisited Sarah, that He checked in with her? It means hu kaviyachol aruch bikur etzla. It means that He made a time to go and visit her. Ad az haya hashamayim neulim bifnei ha'akara Sarah. Before that, Sarah was closed off. The gates of heaven were closed to her. Va'az Hashem pakad osa biker etzla. And then God decided to revisit that decision to close life to her and to close her opportunity to have children. And Kishem Shahashem Poked Yitzure Kedem, just like God remembers and He checks in with all that has happened in the past, Kach Gam Ha'adam Poked Umavaker Es Ha'avar Hashamr Lo B'Zikaron. So too man has to re-examine, reconsider, revisit all of the memories, all of the experiences that have been in our past. Mishachai Kol Hazman Be'avar, somebody who overemphasizes the past and is always living in the past. Sometimes you hear of people who are always talking about their parents who are not alive anymore, and they're not able to move on from those experiences. Yotze midaito, says Rav Soloveitchik. That will make a person go crazy. We need to sometimes move on. Tivo shel adam lahaflig min ha'avar bahala. The natural inclination of a person is to separate and disassociate at some point with all of the past. Avamidei pam bepam, but every so often, we to re-examine and to remind ourselves of what has happened in our past as well. Lifkod situations v'chavayot. We have to remind ourselves of the encounters, of the experiences, of all of the various events. Shemevchinos rabos lo meisu v'lo nimchu ela mamshichos lachios bekirben. We have to remind ourselves of all of the experience that made us who we are, because that's so important to remind yourself of where you come from and how you got to where you are. Mitzad sheni, at the same time, kishadam shoal mi ani, when a person asks, who really am I? Hatshuvahi, the answer is, ani huzeh, hatsofeh umitzapeh la'atid. I am the person who has tremendous, lofty aspirations for my future. Ani huzeh, you know who I am? You know what my persona is? I am the person, shebe'ezres Hashem choshev al machar. I am the person who thinks about, what is my family going to look like in the future? What is my goal for the future of my life? How am I going to grow in this world? And what am I going to contribute to the world? Al Shavua Haba, the Shana Haba. I think about all of the years that will be ahead of me. Eitzel Adam Tzayir, when you deal with a younger person, Hazikaron Katsar Yoter, our memory is shorter, obviously, because we have fewer experiences. And Hatzfiya, our looking forward, our yearning is Gedola Yoter, is greater. Eitzel Yashish, for when you deal with an elderly person, Hazikaron Gadol, they have a conglomerate of so many experiences that they've been through, Vahatzfiya, and their forward thinking is much smaller because they know that life is winding down. Avos Shnehem, but both of them, Ki'ilu Tzafim, both of them are floating al Pnei Zerem Hazman. Both of them are floating along the stream of time. Hamosheich Osam Me'avar Hayadua Umukar, that bring them from a familiar past that they are very well aware of, and it floats them down Le'atid Ne'alam Ve'afuf Mistarim. Brings them to a mysterious and unknown future that only time will tell how it will play out. Ha'hove, the present, is the gesher, is the concourse, it's the nexus, bein hashnayim, between both of those aspects of what our past is and what our aspiration for the future is. I see it's almost 9:30. Can we go till 9:40? Is that okay? Maybe? Okay. So Rav Soloveitchik then goes further. So we have this idea that time is made up of our past and of our future. A person who does many things wrong, who makes the wrong choices and the wrong decisions, and now they want to do tshuva. There's no real significance to tshuva unless we feel bad about what we have done in the past. So he says we have a major problem. What am I going to do with all that time that's in my experience, that's in my recollection of all the mistakes that I made? What happens to all of that? What happens to those moments? Hatsruus lo bezichrono, that are etched in my mind. I remember all of the terrible experiences that I had. I remember all the mistakes that I made. Yesh v'adam shari bechet eser shanam ol chamesh esrei shana. You can have a person who is involved in a mistake, in a problem, for 10 years, for 20 years. Ma'yase, what would that person do kishubar lehistakel achoranit, when he wants to look backward in retrospect and he wants to understand, well, now I want to be about tshuva, but how do I get rid of all those times that I was mechalel Shabbos? How do I get rid of all those times that I made the wrong choices and the wrong decisions? What happens to that whole part of my life? Ma'yase kishubar lehistakel achoranit upokeid, and he revisits shanim elu she'avru alav. You have somebody who's involved in an awful scheme, stealing money, being dishonest. What do I do with all of that time that I enjoyed all of that money? I was scamming the government for the last 10, 15 years. Finally, it caught up with me. I paid them back, or I didn't. I sat in jail. Now I get out of jail. What do I do now? What happens to all of those experiences? Those are part of my essence. That's part of my character. It's part of my personality. Heim ha'ani shelo. That is what makes me who I am. Ha'im yamshich lehizdahot. Can I continue to identify im hashanim halalu? Can I continue to identify with all of those years and all of those experiences? O sheyimchok osan kalohayu. Or can I figure out how to black them out from my experience, from my existence, as if it never happened at all? Yesh ve'adam mochek shanim mechayav. There is a concept, he writes, of people totally blacking out a period of their life. Yadua, it is well known, she'asirim, somebody who's in prison, she'yatzu l'chovesh, when they get finally released. Notin l'shkoach l'gamri es hashanim she'hayu. They forget completely those years that they were locked up in prison. He goes on, skip a couple of lines, and he says, nituach kazeh. Nituach is in the what do you call that? What? No. I'm trying to tell everyone where we're up to. Nituach kazeh, in the quotations, when you do a surgery like that and you try to supplant that which was there, eino davar kal, it's not so easy to get rid of something that was a part of who you are, that made you who you are. E efshar lo adam ben chamishim o ben shishim, can't have a person who's 50 or 60 limchok bebas achas shlish o machtzis o afilu shloshes rivim mechayav. How can you have a person who's 50 or 60 and somehow just expect them to erase a whole big chunk, a whole big portion of their lives? In Cain, if that's true, ma yase im hu rotze lasha b'tshuva b'shlav hazeh. b'chayav. What if you have a 50 or 60 year old who wants to do tshuva, who wants to somehow erase that which they have done for so many years? Ha'im yamshich v'yizdaya, does he have to continue to associate and identify im shanim eila shalchet with all of those years of making terrible decisions and choices? So this is a big problem. And he writes that b'she'elazu, that this problem is something that danu balei ha'machshava harbei. This is something that all of the great Jewish philosophers and thinkers tried to deal with. What happens when we do tshuva? Where does all that time go? What happens to it? Is it as if it never existed? He hevias nish v'spinoza she'askuba lichbar b'tshuva. This is why the greatest secular philosophers decided that they have to reject the whole premise of tshuva. It's an impossibility. It doesn't make sense. Harambam megala daito b'sheila zu. The Rambam weighs in on the issue, and the Rambam says as follows: Midarke hatshuva lios hashav zoek tamid lifnei Hashem. The way for a person to do tshuva is by always feeling the need to cry out and to ask God for help. Umisrachek harbe min hadavar shechatabo. And to distance oneself to a great degree to all of that past. Umishana shmo, says the Rambam. And one changes their name. Kilomar ani acher. I am an entirely different person than the person who I used to be. Ve'eni osa ha'ish sha'asa osa ha'maisen. I am not that person who did those things. I am not that person who made those wrong choices. Kilomar. Ben Shivim She'asa Tshuva, a 70-year-old person who repents, Mochek Bebas Achas, Eskol Evro, Vahareyu Lepeta Ben Shana. You can have a 70-year-old person who wants to do tshuva for a mistake they've done their whole life. It's as if you're 1 year old. You've just been reborn. Mishana Shmo, Ani Acher, I'm a different person. I'm an outsider. I'm not connected at all with all of that past, with all of those experiences. Look at the next paragraph. Kach nektstava Avram Avinu alav ha-shalom. This is what Avram Avinu was told to do. Lech lecha me'artzecha mimolaletecha mibeis avicha. Avram Avinu kara atzma legamri. He divorced himself. He partitioned the whole previous life that he had from the life that he was planning to continue to have from here on in. Avram Avinu is 43 years old at that time. And from here on in, he starts everything over. Look at the English here in the book Abraham's Journey, another one of Rav Soloveitchik's books, where he fleshes out this point. A further meaning of Lech Lecha, what does it mean in that parsha? Lech Lecha means go alone. God's intent was to separate Avraham, to break up his life and have him forget the past and start anew. The Medrash tells us, skip that for now, but basically God meant for him to blot out these memories. Look at the next paragraph. The Torah speaks of three departures. By Avraham Avinu it says, Lech lecha, me'artzecha, mimoladetecha, mibeis avicha. Physical departure, behavioral departure, and kinship departure. Go forth from your land, lech lecha, me'artzecha, means simply to emigrate. The addition, mimoladetecha, from your birthplace, is not related to physical emigration, but to departure of another kind. Behavioral departure. That was the second kind. And then Avraham Avinu is told to alienate himself not only from the behavioral patterns and the habits and the desires that he had, but also to move himself away from kinship, from alienation. He should have nothing to do, from affiliation. He should have nothing to do with all of his past. Rav Soloveitchik writes, that is what Avraham Avinu taught us, and this is something that we try to do in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu as well, to totally disassociate, to change our persona, to say, Ani ish acher. I've come to a point in my life where I am now somebody new. I am not the same person that I used to be. We're going to skip a little bit because we don't have enough time, but let's move to the next page, where Rav Soloveitchik writes as follows. Hasheila, the question is, Im hatshuva hi hemshich o hefsik? Do you assume that tshuva is a continuation, an extension of life? Or do you assume that the process of tshuva is a termination, a cessation of all that happened up until this point? Im hi mikayemes es ha'avar, does it uphold all of my experiences that I had until now? Or is it mevateles osa legamri? Or does it completely reject and get rid of everything that I had until this point, betiva shel ha'tshuva? And Rav Soloveitchik argues that there are two kinds of tshuva. One kind of tshuva is what the Rambam describes as the tshuva where we reject our past, where we disassociate from that and we say, Ani ish acher, I am a person who is not any longer connected with all of the experiences that I had. Go to the next paragraph. Hashanim shenaflu, all of those years that have fallen by the wayside by my doing tshuva, mashiros chalal reik, they leave a void, a vacancy, a vacuum in our lives. What happened to the 30 years of my life? Where did they go? My life is now missing a major portion of it. V'yeshchus gedola lebal tshuva b'kach, shar kodesh baruch hu over al pesha. And we have an incredible gift that God is willing to do that for us, to just overlook a whole chunk of life and make pretend as if it doesn't exist anymore. And this is the first kind of tshuva that he suggests is what we talk about when we have the opportunity to do tshuva, to become ani ish acher, to become somebody completely different, to disassociate from our past. Go to the next page that we have. Three paragraphs in, he says, Zohi derech achasot tshuva. Aval yesh gam derech acheres. So he's been building up the point that yes, by tshuva we have the ability to completely eradicate a whole chunk of time that existed in our history, in our past. But yesh gam derech acheres. There is also another avenue of tshuva. And zu haderech, this is the avenue of hala'as hara, of elevating, of uplifting all of those mistakes, v'lav dafka b'yuro. Learning from those mistakes, uplifting and elevating them to propel ourselves forward, and not just getting rid of everything that happened. B'tshuva kazos, when we go through that kind of tshuva, ein sarach behafsik. It's not as if we've just been reborn. We don't need to blot out a whole chunk of our lives. B'kilyon shel ha'avar u'mechikas ha'zechronos, we don't have to destroy and eradicate all of those experiences. B'derech zeh nitin la'adam lehizdaos im ha'avar, with this kind of tshuva, we can still identify with that past, with all of those mistakes. V'yachad imzos, but together with those experiences, lios bal tshuva. We can figure out how to do tshuva, even though those experiences are a part of our past and are very much who we have become. They are who our essence is. Let's just close with the last paragraph on the last page here before we get to the next heading. Tshuva kazos. When we talk about that second element, that second aspect of tshuva, doreshes min ha'adam, it expects a person lo lachzer lenekudas hamotza. It expects a person not to revert back to where he started before making the mistakes. Lamakam she'amad bo b'tchila, ela memalei osa she'ifa aza. It fills a person up with the incredible opportunity. Lehiskarev karov karov lebarei olam. It gives a person the opportunity to come ever closer to God Himself. You're not starting anew. You don't have to reinvent who you are. You don't have to redefine your essence. Your past is a major part of who you are. Ulahagia la madrega kazos, she'aleha klal lo hayameiz lachalom lifnei hachet. It can bring a person to a level that they never would have dreamt of reaching before they made those mistakes. B'makom shebali tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim lamod. Meaning, if we learn from those mistakes and build upon them and remind ourselves that that is a part of our essence, that is what makes me who I am, but because of that I'm going to build on it and propel myself forward and become even closer to God than I ever would have dared to dream to be, whom is smalei ata, it fills a person up, koach ve'oz shelo hayuvo klal oz. It fills a person up with the ability and the strength, the fortitude to do things, to accomplish so many different opportunities in life that we never thought we would be able to do. So again, this is Reb Soloveitchik's beginning of a thought. Yitzhak Hashem will continue next week if this is of interest. But let's just remember where we started. We spoke about the two different aspects of tshuva. There's a tshuva me'ava and a tshuva me'ira. We're trying to explain what exactly that means to do tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'ira. What is the difference? And in general, we're talking about the philosophical question of how does a person deal with tshuva in general? What happens to all of my experiences that I had in the past? Where do those go? Is it as if I just block out a part of my life? Is it as if I just carved out a whole part of my essence that no longer exists? Or do we assume that no, a person has the ability to do that, to say, Ani ish acher, I'm a different person, but they also have the ability to say, no, I am who I am, but I'm going to build upon the mistakes that I made. I'm going to propel myself forward and become even greater than I ever dreamt I could become before making these mistakes. Because I'm growing from them, and I'm going to make sure to learn so much from the experiences that I had. Okay, so Mirza Shem next week.